The scripture reading this morning will come from Hebrews 11 and 4. And in a few Bibles, that's on page 1007. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of this gift, and through it he, being dead, still speaks.
Good morning. Please now turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4. Terry read the right passage, but we're going to go from Hebrews 11, 4 to Genesis 4. If you're using a pew Bible, we usually announce this number. It's on page 3. It is good to see all of you this morning, and especially those of you who are visiting with us. I want you to give thought to something that probably we don't give enough thought to. I want you to think about when the time comes and you're no longer here on earth. Maybe even the day of your funeral, as uncomfortable as it might be to think about that. What do you want others to remember you by? What words, what messages, what memories do you want people to recall when they think about you? For me, what do I want people to remember me by? We call this our legacy. What do you want your legacy to be? And usually when we talk about one's legacy, hopefully our minds turn in a positive direction. Hopefully we all want to leave something positive about ourselves behind. We want to say that we left the world a better place than it was when we arrived, that we contributed something to the things that take place on earth, that we brightened people's lives because of their connection and their relationship to us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 talks about somebody who left a powerful legacy. He's actually the first recorded death that we have in the Bible. Adam and Eve's son, Abel. And there's that powerful phrase at the end of Hebrews 11, 4 that says, even though he is dead, Abel still speaks. Here we are, thousands upon thousands of years later, we still talk about Abel, and we still recognize the righteous testimony that the Bible gives regarding his life. Abel's life speaks to us the power of one's legacy because of his trust in God, and even because of the sacrifice that he paid because of his faithfulness to God. Even though Abel is dead, he still speaks. He leaves a legacy behind. You probably noticed that behind me, I don't have the right title, do I, based on Hebrews 11, 4. Hebrews 11, 4 says Abel still speaks. But this morning, even though I don't always like to talk about negative things, I want to talk a little bit about the power, the potential of a negative legacy. Because just as Abel's life continues to speak through his testimony of faithfulness, do you realize that there's another life from Genesis 4 that still speaks to us today as well? Now, his death is not recorded for us, but we know that he died. We don't know under what circumstances, at least. But Cain, he still speaks too. No, he doesn't speak through the testimony of faithfulness, but unfortunately, he speaks through the example of human beings today, maybe even you and me, who say many of the same things that Cain says in Genesis chapter 4. There's a number of times where Cain and God in particular have a bit of a back and forth, an exchange, a conversation. And this morning I want to look at a few things that Cain said that unfortunately have their way of appearing in things that we think and maybe even things that we say as well. Hopefully, we want to be like Abel, and even after we're gone, we want a legacy that still speaks to God and our commitment to Him. But we also have to be aware of the possibility that Cain might be speaking through us as well. And so let's turn to Genesis chapter 4, and I just want to begin by reading the events that lead up to the three phrases we're going to look at this morning. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell." That leads us to the first thing that Cain says in our lesson this morning. I'll go ahead and tell you, the first thing we're going to look at is not recorded in Scripture. And I can't tell you for sure if Cain audibly said this out loud, but I can tell you based on this account, the first thing that Cain says to God, it's the word no. Cain said no to God. Now, the first time that Cain said no to God was in what we just read. We don't know all of the details of how God communicated to Cain and Abel about what they were to offer to him. But it was obvious that they both knew they were expected to offer something. I've heard people speculate and surmise about the types of offerings and what made Abel's offering righteous in God's eyes and why God didn't have regard for Cain's offering. I'm here to tell you this morning, I can't give you all those answers for sure. It would just be speculative. But nonetheless, what Scripture tells us is that Abel's offering, God had regard for it, but for Cain's, God did not. God knew Cain could do better. I also know that God's not an unjust God. I don't believe that God just expected Cain and Abel all by themselves to know exactly what he wanted or desired out of them. I'm of full conviction that Cain knew very well what God expected out of him. Abel obviously knew. God being a just God, he would have dealt with these brothers in the same just, consistent way. And so however that was communicated, and whatever God communicated, when God asked Cain to bring something before him, Cain in one way or another in his mind said, "That's just not what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to get by with less. I'm not going to live up to the full expectation of what God asks of me, and that should be good enough." Cain said no. But I want to focus on the second time Cain said no to God. Because every time we say no to God, that is disobedience. Every time we disobey God, we are telling God no. We are saying that our will is more important than God's will. And here's the deal. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We have all disobeyed God. All of us have said no to God. And I'm not here to commend us for saying no to God, but I am here to tell us this. Because of the fact that we've all said no to God, God has been gracious enough to give us an opportunity to say yes after we have said no. To come back, to return, to change our ways. We call that repentance. You see, to me, Cain's initial sin that we read about in not offering to God everything that he expected, that's one thing. But it's the second no where his demise really begins. Continue with me in verse 6. "The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen?'" By the way, have you ever had your face fall? Do you know people that you're like, "I know that person's in a bad mood"? Or have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, "What's wrong with you?" And you're like, you know, you got a fallen face, and you say, "Well, nothing's wrong with me." And they're like, "Well, look at your face." Or sometimes with our children, you know when your children are in a bad mood. Well, Cain, you would look at Cain, his face had fallen. And then God says this in verse 7. "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. But you, Cain, you must rule over sin." What's God communicating to Cain in verses 6 and 7? Cain, I'm giving you a second chance. Yes, it's true. I did not have a regard for your offering. But that's not the end of the story between you and me, Cain. Why are you so upset? Why is your face fallen? Don't you know that if you do well, hey, everything will be okay. We'll be back on right track. That relationship between us will be restored once again. But you need to know something. Sin is at the door. It is knocking on the heart of your door, Cain, and it wants you. You've got to rule over it. Because if you don't, it will destroy you. God is speaking a warning to Cain, but you know what God is ultimately speaking to Cain? Grace and mercy. Another chance. What does Cain say to God? No, again, I can't show you where it says, and Cain said to God, no. But the way the story continues, that's what Cain said, isn't it? Cain had a chance. Upon God saying, you know, Cain, you could have done better with this offering. Cain had a chance to say, you know what, God, you're right. I'm sorry. I'll do better. I should have listened to you. I need to get back on track. Cain could have said all of those things. And the rest of the story would read much differently, wouldn't it? But Cain said no again. He said no once regarding the offering. But the most destructive no was the second one, when he refused to change. And it's sad to see that Cain still speaks in people's lives today. When we say no to God, not the first time when we sin, not when we fall short, and whether it's out of ignorance or out of weakness or out of the moment and letting our guard down, the destructive forces of saying no to God especially rear their ugly head when we recognize we can repent, we can change. We can say no to sin as it knocks on the door of our heart. We can say yes to God. And sadly, too many times, we keep saying no to God. And every time we do, you know what happens? Cain speaks through us. The story continues in verse 8. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Second thing Cain says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" We all know the answer to this question, don't we? To ask the question is to answer it already. By the way, if we are not our brother's keeper, the word brother has absolutely no meaning to the human language. Every time we speak a word like brother or sister, we are speaking of a special kind of relationship, of something that is close, that is dear, and yes, that comes with responsibility. As I've said in the past, and this phrase is not original to me, we are not responsible for one another. We all must stand before God, but you know what? We are responsible to one another. And until I realize that I am my brother and my sister's keeper, I'm not being responsible before God. The word brother has to mean something. By the way, the word brother means something to God. Look at what God says to Cain in verse 9. He doesn't just say, "Where is Abel?" does he? He wants Cain to think. He says, "Where is Abel, your brother?" God and Cain both knew who Abel was. He knew the nature of their relationship. But God wanted Cain to really reflect, who is Abel? Where is Abel, your brother? And then he gives just the most cowardly answer you could give. First of all, he lies, "I do not know." And he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Yes. Yes, Cain, you are. This relationship comes with responsibility. And obviously, Abel thought that there was something special about their relationship, because in verse 8, it talks about them being in the field together. It talks about Cain speaking to Abel. Depending on your translation, it might even have the phrase where Cain speaks to Abel and says, "Let us go out to the field." Some translations have that, some do not. But regardless, these two brothers, they're together. Abel recognized that being a brother meant you do stuff together. You spend time together. You associate with one another. And the last thing that should be from my mind is the prospect that my brother might have it in for me. Am I my brother's keeper? 1 John chapter 3, if you'll turn there. God speaking through the apostle John makes it clear that the word brother means something. Makes it clear to us that the word brother means something beyond just our family, our physical relationships. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. The Holy Spirit speaking through John says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and see his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." There's a whole lot that John says in just those few verses. But he says that if we cannot love our brothers and sisters, how can we say that God's love abides in us? And if we want to say that we have eternal life and we have hate within us, those two things do not go together. If we try to excuse ourselves the same way that Cain does and say, "I'm not my brother's keeper. I'm not responsible in that situation. They got themselves in that mess. They can get themselves out of it." What's one of the things John, in talking about the love of brothers in 1 John 3, talks about? Talks about us laying down our lives for one another. And as an example, he says, if you see somebody who is in need and you have this world's goods and you don't take care of them, you don't show love to them, how can you say that God abides in you? If you say, "Am I my brother's keeper?" and you don't keep your brothers, how can you say God abides in you? And you look throughout Scripture, you look throughout history. Where would we be without brothers keeping brothers? You think about Moses. We're going to talk about Moses during Vacation Bible School next week. When God, speaking through the burning bush, tells Moses, "Moses, I need you in Egypt. I need you to lead this difficult people from Pharaoh's authority through the wilderness and to the promised land." You know what Moses could have said? "Am I my brother's keeper? I was smart enough to get out of there." They can get themselves out. You think about Nehemiah, serving under the foreign kings of his day, while his people back in Jerusalem suffered and struggled to rebuild their home. You know what Nehemiah could have said? "I've got it good in the king's palace." And he did have it good. "Am I my brother's keeper? Let them rebuild Jerusalem." And what about Jesus? Think about Jesus. Enjoying full fellowship with God the Father and God the Spirit, and recognizing that the mission of salvation was on him and him alone. Jesus could have said, am I my brother's keeper? I'm sinless. Let them save themselves. Aren't we thankful that there have been countless people, and ultimately Jesus, who said, I am my brother's keeper? Don't let Cain speak through us with the same sorry excuse. The passage continues in verse 10 with the Lord saying, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. The last thing that Cain says in so many words is, God's not fair. God's not fair. Have you ever been guilty of that? Looking at your situation in life, maybe seeing a mess that you were in, saying, God, he's just not fair. There are a whole lot of things that aren't fair in Genesis 4. Cain refuses to see any of them. The first thing that's not fair is Abel's dead. If you want to talk about justice, if you want to talk about fairness, how fair is this to Abel? Abel's dead because of you, Cain. You want to talk about something being too much to bear? Well, you've taken your brother from this world. But beyond that, let's really think about justice. Sometimes we want justice, don't we? But then when we begin to think about its implications, that's a pretty scary thing to think about. What would have been truly fair and just in this situation? The execution of Cain. You want to take a life? You get to lose your life. That is fair. That is just. Some people see in this account, upon this back and forth, you know, God does tell Cain, when you look in verses 11 and 12, talking about the ground now being even more difficult. I think what we're beginning to see is that the spiral of sin, part of Adam's consequence for his sin was that the ground would now produce thorns. Adam and the earth would not be working in tandem any longer, but in some way would be opponents of one another. And I think now with Cain's sin, that is even multiplying even more. Cain is going to have to wander the earth to live off of the earth. That is a consequence of him taking his brother's blood, him saying, my sin is too great, my guilt is too great to bear. Because now everybody's going to be on the hunt for Cain because they recognize what I've done to Abel. And then God does this thing that seems quite strange. He marks Cain. Now again, what is that mark? I have no idea. Anybody who tells you they have any idea, they don't. I don't know what it was about his appearance that made people realize, that's Cain. That's the man who murdered Abel. And if we take his life, it's going to come back on us even worse. Many times we read that, and historically we have read that and thought, wow, what kind of punishment? How cruel. You know what God was showing to Cain? Mercy. Generosity. Grace. He was protecting Cain's life. He said, Cain, you don't have to live in fear of what others might do to you. I will protect you. And should anybody harm you, they're going to know it's going to come even worse for them. God was protecting Cain, but Cain couldn't see that. Cain's selfishness, his ego, his pouting, prevented him from seeing how good he actually had it, especially in light of what he had just done. It talks about him going from the presence of the Lord. And that's the saddest thing about sin. When we let it overwhelm and take over our lives, we will run away from God. And we will no longer know His presence. And sometimes we come to that conclusion because we say God isn't fair. The truth is, God isn't fair. God isn't just. God is gracious. God is merciful. God wants to protect us, and God wants us to come back to Him. But sadly, Cain still speaks and has spoken through the millennia in the voices of others. In the Old Testament, I think about somebody like Jonah. Sometimes we uphold Jonah as this great prophet. And it's a neat story about him being swallowed by this great fish. But you know how that story concludes? Jonah preaches to a sinful people. They repent, and you know what he does? He pouts. Why did he pout? Because God was being merciful and gracious to people Jonah didn't like. Do you realize Cain was speaking through Jonah? I'm not talking about him being reincarnated. I'm talking about his example. Jonah saying, God, you weren't being fair. You should have done these people in. You know what God was saying to Jonah? I'm being gracious, Jonah, and maybe you should try being gracious too. In the New Testament, one of the most tragic ways in which Cain speaks through others, I think of Judas. A man who, like Cain, had sinned. And yes, his sin was great. But do you know what was available and open to Judas upon his sin? Even betraying his friend, his Lord, and our Savior. You know what was open for Judas? Repentance. Turning around. Coming back to God. And instead, he just couldn't face it all. Cain couldn't face not just his sin, but Cain couldn't face God. Because in some ways, God was too good for Cain to comprehend. And I'm afraid that same thing happened to Judas as well. My question for us this morning is, does Cain still speak today? I look around the world and I know one thing, Cain is still speaking. I look at a lot of the events we've talked about in recent weeks and months, whether it's through man's disobedience to God or man's jealousy of his fellow man or man's refusal to be his brother's keeper or man's refusal and rejection of God's grace and mercy. Cain still speaks. And that's why we see so much hurt and heartache and destruction in the world. But here's the more important question. Is Cain still speaking through us? Because if he is, we need to put him to rest. We need to silence him. Cain doesn't have to speak through us. We are our brother's keeper. We have a God who is gracious and merciful, and we have a God who wants us. As I close, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. I won't read it for you, but it's a fascinating passage. We began this lesson this morning looking at Hebrews 11, 4, that said, even though he is dead, Abel still speaks. Abel and that powerful example of his life and his righteous testimony. The alternative to Cain speaking through us is actually not Abel speaking through us. Because when you get to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, what the writer of Hebrews says is that there is one greater than Abel who has sprinkled us with his blood, the blood of the new covenant. We know who he's talking about. It's Jesus. Yes, Abel was a great man, but Abel was no savior. Instead of letting Cain speak through us, we need to let God's Son speak through us. And this morning, if you need to come to him, because of His sacrifice, because of the fact that He was our keeper and the Savior of our souls, if you've never come to Him in baptism, if you need to return to Him, don't be like Cain. Say yes to God this morning while we stand and sing.